Joining me right now on the phone lines, we've got Mr. Curtis Shuck with the Well Done Foundation. Of course, many people think steaks right away, but no, not only do you not cook your steak well done, this is a different kind of well, so pretty bad joke, I know, but what the heck, we thought we'd try it out. How are you doing today?
I'm great. You know, I got to tell you that that's a pretty unique lead-in. I appreciate that. Haven't had that yet.
So. Well, that was an audible in the moment, and you know what they say in live television and in radio. If it happened, it meant to happen. So no matter what, you just go with it and roll with it. And anyway, but Well Done Foundation, boy, you've been making your way all over the U.S. I see your social media posts keeping us updated with the mission of cap and methane, or mission of, I don't know, an M word in there for total alliteration, but talk to us about the Well Done Foundation and what you've been doing recently.
So thanks, Jason. And, you know, just always awesome to hang out and have a chance to chat with you. And you know, you're an amazing following you've got out there, and people that are like dialed into the industry and care. So anyway, sorry for that little shameless plug there, but so our focus has been on building our ecosystem. And, you know, we started just over 2 years ago here in Montana, and, you know, that kind of that pivotal day for me, that inflection point, was at my first foray into the orphan well space. I mean, who knew that was even a thing coming, you know, from out in the Bakken and up in Alaska, and seeing the, you know, the sort of the condition of the fields there, and then showing up on scene in Montana and, like I said, you know, witnessing what I saw and, you know, literally being horrified on behalf of the industry that, you know, this isn't good. And in any universe, that's not all right. And we should do something about it. And, you know, so now 24 months later, you know, we plugged our 10th well here in Montana. We're getting ready to literally been on the phone all morning with our team in Pennsylvania and Ohio. We're kicking off our first plug in the state of Pennsylvania on the 27th of this month. So just a couple weeks away. So to your point, you're asking earlier where I was headed next. So on Thursday, I'll be headed south and east. And we have a loop that takes us through Kansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Texas, East Texas, and then back up into the Appalachian country of West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York. And we're super excited, again, that we've been building our team out there, and we're literally getting ready to plug our first well, and we'll be having an announcement here shortly with who that well sponsor is in Pennsylvania, and I think you'll know them for sure when we're able to disclose that, but we're pretty excited about it.
Pennsylvania, boy, that's one of those in Ohio. That's, you know, up there is where they really need the abandoned wells and the that sort of thing taken care of, because they don't even know where all of them are up there, do they?
Well, I'll give you an example, and you're spot on. So they really, it's a struggle, and I enjoy coming back to Montana every time. And, you know, and same in North Dakota. You know, we laugh about, you know, watching your being able to watch your dog run away for a week. But, you know, being back in that country where it's so heavily forested, I got to tell you, I get claustrophobic. It's just so, you know, the canopy is so intense, and, you know, the terrain is kind of more than you'd think in the Appalachian Mountains there. It's the real deal. And, you know, just access is such a huge issue. So, you know, they've got, you know, a fairly good idea. But, you know, my point was, I was actually out in the field a couple of weeks ago in Pennsylvania, in Bradford, Pennsylvania, which is where we're going to be plugging our first well, which is not that far from Titusville, which, as you know, is the place that started it all with the Drake number one well there in 1859. But I was out in the field and was, you know, doing some of our wildcatting work and, you know, identifying targets. and family was out there kind of working on some property, and they came up and asked what I was doing, because I looked like Ghostbusters, you know, out there doing our thing. And they're like, hey, you know, we got one of those in our backyard. Why don't you stop on by? And so literally, the next day I went, stopped by and checked it out. Sure enough, you know, in their backyard, they've got an abandoned well, orphaned well. It wasn't even on the list. So to your point, you know, I reached out to our partners there at the State of Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. And it was like, hey, guess what? You know, we got this well. And so they did their work. And in short order, a new orphan well was found. Now, they weren't very happy with me because, you know, we're out there working with the State of Pennsylvania expressly to take numbers off their list, not put more on. And so, like, right now we're sort of, you know, dead even, you know, one for one. But and that's the well that we're actually plugging on starting on the 27th. So pretty exciting to see it. It's literally, Jason, and you'll get some photos of this. I'll send some photos over to you. It's literally in this family's backyard. I mean, realistically, it's maybe 70 feet away from their house.
Wow.
And it's crazy. And it's like that all over. And, you know, it's great working with the regulators there in the state of Pennsylvania. The DEP has just been amazing to work with in terms of, you know, this, you know, collaboration. And, but they're just, you know, I feel for them. They're overwhelmed. I mean, it's a big thing. And so anyway, we're super excited to be there. And like I said, our next wells will be in Ohio and Louisiana. And those are going to be October plugs that we'll be able to share with you very shortly here. So
one of the ways when I started going the opposite way from the mainstream media, because, you know, well, you got to remember, I was pretty happily employed with, the mainstream media for a long time. But like I said, when I started thinking differently than them, and like every which way but loose, you know, even on which way but loose movie we should rent, one or two even. No, I'm just kidding. I think that was Clyde, wasn't it, with Clint Eastwood? Anyways, bad joke for those people of us over 40 years old. But anyway, when these abandoned wells and things like that, you know, the advent of LIDAR, and then, of course, we got to, you know, more optics that could really read some of the methane leaks, and then all of a sudden you're finding out that, you know, they've got some drones and some sort of Land Rovers and even pipeline sniffing dogs to a certain extent that can, you know, find a hairline leak. So for me, when I was in the media, I thought this was like really good news because it was going to open up a whole new industry of people that can solve problems. And they went the real negative way, I think. And so that's an example where I kind of went the opposite way with the other media. And, talk to me a little bit about how the technology of some of the, you know, drones and, you know, LIDARs and different things have really, I think, aided helping us get to these different unmanned wells and, you know, the orphans and abandoned, because a lot of them in Ohio and Pennsylvania, they were before there was even states around. So there's no written record and that sort of thing. Do you understand the question, I guess?
Oh, yeah, I know 100%. And I'll tell you what, I face it every day out there. And, you know, I mean, this is the Wild West. We're literally writing this book right now, Jason. And that's what's so exciting about that we're doing.
Folks, he is literally, because he's got a curriculum, and we can get to that in a moment. But I just want to interject that quick. Okay, go ahead.
So it's, it's an absolute adventure out there. And yeah, you're right. The technology is very helpful. To a certain degree, I mean, it will provide, certain direction, if you would, in terms of, you know, where some concentrations and densities are. Of course, where those types of platforms start to struggle is, like I mentioned, you know, in the middle of the summer when you've got a canopy that's so dense that the sun barely penetrates it. That can be a real challenge. And so, you know, as we're finding, there's absolutely nothing, you know, so that's great for, like I said, for density identification and and maybe, you know, some, you know, some hotspot, you know, identification. But at the end of the day, this is a boots on the ground game. It's, you gotta have a ground game, and you gotta be committed to this. And it's a, it is a ton of work, let me tell you. And so, you know, we've been experimenting with those platforms that you're talking about right now, you know, various, you know, fixed wing and rotor and now, you know, UAS systems, you know, and they're great up to a certain degree. Things like wind in the prairie, you know, that can be a real struggle. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, we had some team members up from Montana Tech, from their petroleum engineering department, were up doing some stuff with us with a service provider out of the Northwest, who's a, you know, pretty big name in the OGI space. And it's been exciting to see that work. But for the type of acute measurements that we're taking for methane, it's got to be literally at the wellhead. And so that's what, you know, we're doing out there right now, is building this network and ecosystem of folks. And, you know, it takes a bit of a hardy soul. But, you know, to your point, we are, this is a new industry. And you know, and there's going to be plenty of work, certainly, for the roughnecks and roustabouts to, you know, help us plug these wells. But we're actually creating a whole new industry in the measurement and quantification side of the work that we're doing, to be able to deliver this market-based solution and turn these methane emission eliminations that we're doing through plugging these wells into actual, you know, carbon credits that can be serialized and sold on the market.
It is a new industry, no question about it. I believe the drones and the some of those things are going to, you know, they help solidify that the industry is there, it is needed. It became almost a scout for some of those hard to reach places. But to your point, the capping of the well, that's boots on the ground. There's no way around that at all. And so this is not, this is, and that's what I'm trying to tell the folks. You know, when I go out to the non-oil and gas communities and talk to the folks about the abandoned wells and everything else, I tell them, you know, this is a 10-year project that, you know, hopefully it'll be less than that, but just to get to the ones that we know about now, it takes time because, you know, for one, you got to come up with the funds. Number two, you got to come up with the people to do it. And three, you know, it could be in the middle of some remote place in the Appalachian Mountains, you know. And so it's not easier said than done. But there is technology to help identify them. And that's what I think the key is here. And the industry is opening up. And whether it's opening up through this ESG movement or whether it's opening up through special grants that states are setting aside, you are literally writing the book because you've had to change your business model too. I mean, so you know this. You're like the expert in the country on this. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the market that's opening up, because I want energy companies out there to listen to this, because Mr. Curtis Shuck can help you. He can help you because he's figured it out now over the last couple of years on how to do this. And so as people are getting ready for their boardrooms and that sort of thing, what you're doing is now something that they can do to help their bottom line. Isn't that becoming more of a reality now?
Absolutely. And in addition to that, it's the opportunity to not only, you know, enhance the bottom line, but also support a very important narrative that is a requirement in today's business world. You know, that social license, as you know, is becoming more and more of a critical element. And, you know, we're super excited in Pennsylvania to be talking here shortly, and hopefully by the time this airs, we'll be able to clue you in on who our partners are there in the Appalachian region, which is a, you know, one of the majors legacy players there. And, you know, the fact that these guys are jumping on board, you know, we call it the plug bus, you know, jumping on the plug bus with the little old well done foundation, I think should be a pretty big indicator to others out there that this is the thing. And, you know, the time to act is now. That you know, that train's leaving the station as far as the requirement to do business better and to leave things better than the way we found them. And what a great opportunity here as well through the work that we're doing with the American Carbon Registry to actually develop a methodology that will allow the commercialization of the methane that we're, you know, that we're eliminating through the plug-in abandonment efforts. So, you know, again, what we're asking states like Pennsylvania and Ohio and West Virginia and New York to do is, you know, if they're lucky enough to receive some of those dollars through the infrastructure package, you know, the Joe Bucks, you know, what we're asking them is that they really need to consider a holistic approach to access. Because unless you're a logger or a road builder in places like Pennsylvania, a lot of those, you know, those targets that are super emitters are going to be either go unplugged for a significant period of time, or the cost to plug that single well will be completely off the charts. And so, you know, in terms of, you know, what, you know, again, industry needs to be at the table with the regulatory agencies. And I'll tell you that the state of Pennsylvania is really, like I said, they have been there. They are so creative right now and looking at ways to make this happen. And so, yeah, it's a fun time. And that's why I drive 5,000 miles a month, Jason. So,
fellow road warrior, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, so who's your customer nowadays? Because, I mean, you're a nonprofit, so it's an odd way to phrase the question. But, you know, what you're doing is really more of a public service. And so it's different because, you know, does it make sense for an energy company to put money forward if it's not their responsibility? Is it the state's responsibility? You know, you mentioned the guy who's house, you know, is 70 feet away from the well site. Is it his responsibility? So at the end of the day, you know, who is footing the bill for this?
Well, we've been very fortunate and super thankful for the donations and corporate sponsorships that have, you know, helped us to get to where we're at today and are continuing to help us move the needle as this project is going forward. And we haven't accepted a single dollar of taxpayer money, by the way, and I think that's a really important aspect to our particular business model. Not that there isn't, you know, a place for that, and maybe access and some of the more, you know, really intense remediations, surface remediations, where we're dealing with wetlands and we're dealing with, you know, waters of the U.S. I mean, gosh, we've got some projects down in Louisiana, literally in the bayou, that have all kinds of, you know, complicated aspects associated with it. But the actual plugging and the you know, the emission abatement or the emission elimination of the methane is meant to be funded, again, through a carbon offset strategy, a carbon finance strategy that will lift it up. Now, that's not going to work for every well, you know, of the 3, you know, plus million, give or take, you know, gosh knows how many in the U.S. Not every one of those is going to qualify under this program, but the reality is that the ones that do are the ones that need it the most, right, in terms of from an emission perspective. And so we're going to, you know, we're leaning in to this work very intently with our partners at the American Carbon Registry. But we always feel that there's going to be an important role there to play because for, you know, again, corporate sponsorships and, you know, folks that are looking even outside of, you know, their ESG platform, but really just want to do the right thing and individual donations. Because, again, not every well will stand on its own from a carbon finance perspective. But, you know, again, the amount of methane that these wells are emitting. And remember, the issue is it's the multiplier effect. It's the impact, you know, that methane has relative to carbon dioxide. And the fact that methane is quite a bit more gnarly is really the game changer in this particular space.
Well, you know as well as I do, you're in Montana, so You've got you've got a little bit of that climate activism there, climate idealism, if you will. I've got it in Fargo. I mean, I can't hardly walk outside without getting egged with something. So anyway, the reason I bring that up is because I think this is, well, I'm just going to flat out say it, industry, you need to get proactive on this, because each one of those abandoned wells, they're going to be portrayed as a burning building, basically, in the eyes of the public. So if an energy company is getting proactive, they're going to be left alone. But the ones who are not being part of the solution, I'm telling you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Curtis Shuck, but a lot of people, that's the way they're viewing, like an abandoned well now. It's no different than a burning building.
Yeah, and it's, right, wrong, or indifferent, I guess. There's been, a lot of focus and attention there. Maybe we're, kind of victims of our own success in a certain way. But, a lot of our mission, Jason, is about education and sort of shining the light on it. Some operators have been amazing to work with and get it. And, they're embracing it because, again, they see that it's, it's a way to make a difference, a meaningful difference. And, what we love about this project is it's literally gas on, gas off, right? And there's nothing, against growing trees in the Amazon or in the Northwest or wherever you're growing trees, or even, your projects there with the industrial forest. But these deliver sort of those more immediate results and tangible results. Again, mm-hmm. You can see the gas and then the gas is gone. And
that's why I think what you're doing is so important. And because not only is it, like you mentioned, a tangible thing where somebody who's outside of the industry can see it and understand it. And that's really important, because there's a lot of misinformation that's used against the industry right now, not in a favorable way. And that was kind of the burning building example I was given before, yeah. Because there's an exaggeration of anxiety out there. And you're one of the ones out there that are understand it's a slow go, but it's if we can reach one person a day, we're doing okay. And unfortunately, it's that kind of slow go that you're up against, but it's really critical right now to get that boots on the ground, one-on-one type education, because in my opinion, that's the only thing that's really working against that kind of that accelerated projected anxiety out there.
No, you're right, and that's we just have to again, it's a ground game, just like playing football. You just gotta gut it out. Every yard is a victory, and that's why we've taken the approach of one well at a time, and every well is significant, and every well is meaningful, whether it's beyond just the methane emission. It's just showing the fact that we can do it in some of the craziest, terrain and circumstances. And, people are, to your point, are really starting to take note that, hey, it's working. And, maybe there's an opportunity to change the narrative. We hope that, our story is transparent and people can relate to what we're doing. We're not about, pointing fingers and laying blame, talking about whose fault it is and how we got here. We need to rise above that. And we just need to, we're an action-based outfit, and we just like to make good things happen. And so, that's where, I think people are starting to say, this is a pretty easy win here to support these guys and get involved. And it's a great way for people to actually get involved themselves too. Like, we're just in the process of bringing on a volunteer coordinator here at World Headquarters in Shelby, Montana, that is going to help us to kind of rodeo up all of these interested parties that we've been flooded with, which is awesome. And we want to make sure that we've got something for them to do. And so, there's a lot going on, but what a great way for companies to, not only to, enhance their ESG platform, but actually get involved, get some dirt under their fingernails, and, be a part of the solution and own that.
How can people be a part of the solution, either from a donation standpoint or a volunteer standpoint.
Exactly. So, you know, there we've got, you know, ways and on the website where, you know, folks can make a tax deductible contribution, or they can purchase our, what we have trademarked as our climate benefit units, or CBUs, which is the well done carbon credit, if you would, until our project is fully certified by the American Carbon Registry. And they can sign up on the volunteer page. And, you know, like I said, we're right in the process now of kind of organizing these folks across the country. The good news is that we, you know, we're currently active in six states. That number is growing much more quickly. We're starting to press in California now, which is going to be super exciting. And, you know, so then we'll be like coast to coast, you know, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico. So we're pretty excited about what we're working on.